This is DJ Moore. You listen to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, it's your Philly Neighborhood Trash Man, back to talk more fantasy football news, or NFL news that is applicable to fantasy, that is. Let's go ahead and get started. The Jets have reworked Alan Lazard's contract. Lazard was brought in on a four-year deal for $44 million. I mean, That's for a guy who they plan on being involved in the offense. It was part of the effort to bring in Aaron Rodgers and his crew, his people. .530 yards and six scores in a dozen games for Lazard, which is, you know, about what we'd come to expect. But they've finagled things to where they can keep Lazard around. Well, he'll stay around, but you know they'll save $8.5 million in cap space this year. So it's a good thing for the Jets. It allows them to bring in some more help, and it keeps Lazard around. Lazard for fantasy purposes, I'm not that interested. I don't see him doing much better than the 530 and 6 that he did this past season with Rodgers, and I don't think Fields will be as inclined to target Lazard as Rodgers was. So good for the Jets. Who cares for Lazard? ESPN's Matt Miller believes the Bears love Boise State running back Austin Jeanty. Yeah, duh. Who doesn't love Austin Jeanty? Miller says this based on scouts around the league who have kept tabs on the Bears this offseason. You know, he nearly broke Barry Sanders. You know, that's rarefied air to be in. So right now it looks like Raiders or Bears for Jeanty. Who would be the better fit, though? I mean, if we're talking about the quarterback situation, Geno Smith is a more proven commodity than Caleb Williams. I mean, I think Caleb Williams has more upside, but he struggled as a rookie in the NFL. Things hadn't gone great for him in his first season. Geno Smith, you know, once again, led the Seahawks a pretty good record. He's joining a new team, but he's back with his old coach, Pete Carroll. I mean, as far as the competition in the backfield, I mean, he has to contend with Swift, DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson. In the backfield. Let's see who else is back there. Travis Homer and Ian Wheeler. So Swift and Johnson are his most immediate competition. As a Raider, he'd be splitting the backfield with Raheem Mostert, Sincere McCormick, who had some decent outings last season. Zamir White, you know, I guess there's still hope that Zamir White develops into a NFL caliber running back. Dylan Laube, who Cody has a lot of love for. Chris Collier. I mean, so right now, I think it's about even. Well, I guess the Raiders have a deeper running back room than the Bears right now. I mean, in either case, Jensen comes in and he becomes the guy. But I think he has a better chance of producing in a Raiders offense just because there's nobody really like Jensen in that Raiders backfield. He's not really – Raheem Mostert isn't like a Jensen. McCormick's not like a Jensen. Zamir White's not like a Jensen. Dylan Laub is not like a Jensen. Whereas in Chicago, if you squint enough, DeAndre Swift is kind of like an Austin Jeanty. You know, he's not too far removed from the type of runner that they are, the type of runners that they are. Roshon Johnson, big bully of a back, not like Jeanty. Well, I mean, but then you have to look at offensive lines. The Raiders' offensive line versus the Bears. And the Bears, I mean, we know in recent history, have not had good offensive lines. I mean, Caleb Williams is often under duress. In 2024. So let's take a look at it. Some say that it's unfair to the Bears. I mean, it wasn't that their offensive line was just terrible. They just didn't know how to use them. The Bears O-line was asked to block for the fourth longest time of any unit last season. You know, that doesn't help. That contributed heavily to a 10.7 sack rate because their pressure rate was 35.4. So some would say that the Bears' offensive line wasn't as bad as is rumored. The Raiders, on the other hand, their pressure rate of 35.8 ranked 20th, and they struggled particularly against the blitz with a 46.6 pressure rate, where they were 28th. I mean, so some could say that the Bears have a better O-line than the Raiders coming into 25, or should. Pro Football Network had the Raiders graded at a D+. In 2024, Sixers at a C. 76.7. So the eyeball test, maybe the Raiders looked better than the Bears, but from a numbers standpoint, maybe the Bears did have a better offensive line than the Raiders last season. I mean, that's probably mitigated by the Bears just having better offensive players too. Offensive skill players. So for my money, I'm hoping that Jeanty goes to, I mean, offensive line notwithstanding. I'd like to see him as a Raider in this situation. I mean, just purely from a fantasy standpoint, for just talking about the action. I mean, the Bears have a better offense in general, you could say. I mean, if you're talking about wide receiver core, the Raiders technically have a better quarterback right now. better tight end. That's for certain. And I think Jeanty just it's a more direct path to touches as a Raider. I mean, ideally, I'd like to see him drop to the Cowboys. That would be a dream situation. But I don't know if he'll drop that far. And more football news. Kyler Murray said he wants to run more in 2025. Beware what you ask for. That's what I say to that. No. ACL tear in 2022. Said he felt something in his knee in the 2024 season. Only two designed rush attempts of more than 15 yards last year. He says he wants to run more. Last season had 572 yards and 5 touchdowns on 78 rushing attempts. 4.6 rushes per game. His career high was 8.4 rushing attempts per game in 2020 when he finished with 819 yards and 11 scores on the ground. I mean, that's pretty good for a running back. I mean, if he were to run more, I mean, that would definitely boost his fantasy stock. So it'd be good for fantasy. I don't know if it'd be good for Murray. A little bit older. Maybe not quite as fast. But you could argue that his weapons are better now. So it'd be good for fantasy. I don't know how good it'd be for Murray and his health and his longevity as an NFL quarterback. But fantasy, I mean, first and foremost, we want the points. And Kyler Murray running more in 2025, that indicates more points in fantasy. So Kyler Murray wants to run more in 2025. Hopefully they let him from a fantasy perspective. And hopefully they can keep him healthy. Fox Sports, Jordan Schultz reports, Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe has upcoming visits with the Giants, Rams, and Seahawks. I guess the Rams, I mean, the Rams would be a good situation for Milroe just because he needs more development. One of the raw quarterbacks in the draft this season. Going to the Rams, he'd have Matthew Stafford, who just turned 37 years old. It's a little long in the tooth there. But he would at least be able to develop on a good offense under Stafford. And if Stafford retires next season, which could be a real possibility. I mean, he's nearing 40 years old, especially the. Or if they did do something, if they did win a Super Bowl, he might want to go out on top. But Milroe could be the successor to Stafford on the Rams. I mean, both the Giants and the Seahawks have veteran quarterbacks. Use that term lightly. Who Milroe could back up. But there's more of a chance that he would see action in his rookie season in either of those destinations. So it makes sense for Milroe to join a team where they already have a veteran quarterback in place who's going to be around for at least another year or two more, allowing him to develop. So it makes sense for him to go to the Rams. I wouldn't hate it. The Giants also hosted Iowa running back Caleb Johnson for a visit. Now, this is more what I'd like to see. They currently have Tyrone Tracy as their lead back, so to speak. a job that he took from Devin Singletary in his rookie year. Johnson brings a big body to the Giants backfield, or he would. 6'1", 224 pounds. Over 1,500 rushing yards in his final season at Iowa. I mean, that would be the answer in the Giants' backfield. That would be the missing piece. A power runner. Could hold on to the ball. Tracy had issues with fumbles in his rookie season. Fumbled the ball 5 times. I mean, he profiles to be a third down back. I mean, that's what he looked like coming into the NFL. It's another one of these kind of Chase Brown situations where the guy profiled to be a pass catching back, third down kind of back, found his way into the starting role. Tracy didn't have the success that Brown did, but Tracy wasn't bad. But he's not a long-term answer for the Giants as a first two down runner or three down runner. Caleb Johnson could be. A lot of good running backs in this draft, and Johnson's just one of them, but it would make sense for the Giants to bring in Johnson, a bigger back who could handle that load.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Trevor Lawrence said he will throw on a limited basis in OTAs. Lawrence told reporters he is very optimistic he will be fully ready for the start of the season. He's still recovering from a surgery he underwent on his non-throwing shoulder in December. Lawrence recently started throwing again. And he's been working with head coach Lynn Cohen to improve his footwork to fit the timing of Cohen's offense. It'll be his third offense in 5 years with the Jags. You know, we've seen Lawrence kind of drop off a cliff in fantasy. But he really hasn't had consistency in his offense, in his offensive schemes. It's a new offense he's learning now, too. So maybe this is another year of growing pains for Lawrence. Doesn't bode as well for his fantasy chances, but, you know, maybe the fact that it's in a different offense entirely, maybe that helps to mitigate it. Still a new offense, coming off an injury. Let's temper our expectations for Trevor Lawrence, as we probably already have been. The Athletic reports that the Steelers will host North Carolina running back Omarion Hampton for a visit. It's another move that would make sense. Hampton to the Steelers. Najee Harris no longer there. He was their big body back. Right now they have Jaylen Warren and Kenny Gainwell, who together stack them on top of each other. Make a three down back in the NFL. Steelers are also hosting Oklahoma State running back Ollie Gordon II. You know, maybe if Hampton's gone, a backup plan. But Hampton to the Steelers, that would make a lot of sense. It would nix the fantasy value of both Warren and Gainwell. Because Hampton, I think, can do what they both do and also run between the tackles. Gainwell, you know, he was a good rookie prospect. You know, he landed up on the Eagles teams where an Eagles team where he just couldn't break the waves for really any length of time there. You know, if the Steelers didn't add a running back in the draft, Gainwell would be in a prime position to produce in fantasy alongside Jalen Warren. I think Gainwell's a better back than Warren. I know everybody wants Warren to be the guy, a guy in fantasy. And he's had his opportunities. And in my opinion, he's kind of dropped the ball. He's been underwhelming as much as we'd hope that he wouldn't be, given the opportunities that he's been given. I like Hampton to the Steelers. It would be a massive improvement on what they have there in the backfield right now. Moore hosts. The Colts will host Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers for a visit on Wednesday. I mean, Ewers isn't projected to be an early pick. Day three is what people are saying. And that could be an easy pick for the Colts. Thing is, it just muddies up the mix even more in Indianapolis. We have Daniel Jones, who I don't think anybody really sees as a franchise quarterback. I don't think anybody sees as more than a stopgap at this point. We have Anthony Richardson, whose upside is palpable, to be sure, but hasn't shown to be consistent. Well, and hasn't really been allowed to fail for a full season. So they don't even still know if he's the guy or not. Bringing in Daniel Jones certainly won't help figure that out. And then bringing in Quinn Ewers won't help that out either, because Ewers probably isn't going to be a franchise quarterback. Looks like he's slated to be a backup in the NFL at best. So you bring him in, muddy the mix, and then you have three quarterbacks, two of whom, and Jones and Ewers, who we don't expect to change the game, so to speak. And then Richardson, a guy who we still have some hope for. I mean, like you said, I mean, his talent is rare. His athletic ability is rare. But he's floundered thus far in the NFL. What you hate to see is Richardson not get his footing for another season, for a third season. Him move on to another team afterwards, and they really give him a shot and him thrive there. You know, something like a Geno Smith situation. And have him come back and beat you. I mean, but that's on the Colts. It's what they're doing at quarterback right now. And what they would do by bringing Ewers in doesn't appeal to me for fantasy or really anything else. I wanted to talk about now. That's pretty much it as far as news over the past 24 hours. I wanted to talk about some players in the rookie class in 2024 who are poised to make strides in 2025. Players who had decent to good years in their rookie seasons that are primed to take a big step up in 2025. First of these for me, let's talk about quarterbacks. Drake May. He showed flashes in 2024 of a marquee caliber NFL quarterback. despite a supporting cast that was less than supportive at most times. He posted top 12 fantasy finishes. Actually, he posted five top 12 fantasy finishes and 10 full starts as a rookie. Drake May did. You know, he has rushing ability, you know, to, like a young Josh Allen if you squint enough. He really doesn't need that much as far as the supporting cast goes, of an improvement at least, to make major strides in 2025. Brought in Stephon Diggs. I mean, that might be enough of a boost to have May being a top 10 quarterback in fantasy on a weekly basis, throwing his running prowess. They bring in another back. They bring in a quick pass catching back there to add to the mix. May is a top 10 quarterback with just a little bit of help. I mean, another quarterback, Jaden Daniels, I mean, what can you say? He finished the year off as a top-tier quarterback anyway. Almost 22 fantasy points per game as a rookie. You add some help in the offense. You added a Deebo Samuel. I mean, Jaden Daniels could be the best fantasy quarterback, full stop, in 2025. Just with the Deebo edition. So May and Daniels, second-year players, second-year quarterbacks, bound to make big strides in 2025. Wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, we see the writing is on the wall based off of his 2024 season. Gabe Davis hitting free agency. I mean, Brian Thomas is in line to be the Jaguars wide receiver one and a new offense. Hopefully an offense that increases Trevor Lawrence's success as a quarterback. He was good as a rookie, and I think will be even better as a second-year player, Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, you'd have to say the same potentially for Malik Nabers. You know, one of the only guys of the rookie group. I mean, we can't even talk about the Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. comparison anymore. There is no comparison. Nabers proven in the short amount of time he's been in the NFL that he's the better pick. Didn't matter who was under center, Daniel Jones or Drew Locke. Nabers, through his elite route running and just his yak, his yards after catch ability. And he was fifth in targets, second in targets actually, fifth in receptions in 2024. I mean, there is a real argument for Nabers being a top five wide receiver in the NFL this season. It's the second in the league on a subpar team. I mean, Russell Wilson, I mean, you like to think he's an improvement on both of those guys, at least consistency-wise. Jameis Winston would be for fantasy. It's another type of situation where it really wouldn't matter who was under center for the Giants. Malik Nabers is going to thrive. He's going to get his. So while people are drafting Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, super early in the draft, you might be able to get away with getting value on neighbors a little bit later. You know, I guess there's a world where you could take him on the turn. You could end up taking another player before you had to take neighbors. There's a world where that exists. But neighbors is going to give you top five wide receiver return. Tight end, Brock Bowers, I mean, already rewrote the record books for rookie tight ends in 2024. 112 receptions, the most ever by a rookie at any position. Geno Smith, an improvement at quarterback. Potentially another quarterback being drafted for the Raiders. I mean, is he not the top tight end in fantasy right now? I mean, I guess you could argue that McBride might vie for that role. I mean, but Travis Kelce and George Kittle, they're long in the tooth. They're old. There needs to be a passing of the guard. It's Bowers and McBride. And I think Bowers leads that charge. So there you have it. Second-year players who I think are going to fly up the fantasy charts in 2025. This has been the Trash Man. Until next time. Well, stick around for Alex and Cody. Until next time. But also until next time, I'll see you.